You're listening to Women in Leadership Podcast, Episode 10. Hi, I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross. Welcome to another episode of Women in Leadership Podcast, the podcast that empowers you to reach your full potential, whether you're already in a leadership role or maybe you are an aspiring leader. Joining me on today's show is Alison Vidotto, and Alison is the CEO of Vidotto Group and Push Leadership and Business Training. She's the author of the award-winning leadership book, 22 Leadership Fundamentals. She's a keynote speaker, leadership and business trainer. She's also the founder and director of the Australian Charity for the Children of Vietnam, ACCV, a small NGO that works with blind and disadvantaged children living in poverty in Vietnam. She's a mother of six, very passionate about leadership, and Alison believes that we all have the potential to lead. Now, on today's show, Alison's going to share, it doesn't matter where you come from, what matters is what you do with the resources you have available, where you are going. We all have the potential to lead. Keep learning why professional education is imperative, as well as the importance of having strong systems in place. So welcome to the show, Alison.
Hi, Anne-Marie. Great to be here. Yes. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So Alison, you're the CEO of a leadership and business training group. You're the founder, director of a charity, author, speaker, mother of six, the list goes on. What a wonderful role model that you can successfully juggle leadership roles as well as all of those other areas of your life. What would you say, and this might be a really big question, but what do you believe has allowed you to achieve this while also maintaining that balance and sanity?
I don't know about the balance and sanity. I think the reality is, for me, when I was learning all about leadership, you know, you see it in everyday life. You know, there's women leading families, there's communities leading PNCs in schools, working in Vietnam with people who, you know, have been oppressed and living in poverty and they're blind. Many of the people we work with are blind. Mm-hmm. Seeing them step up and take leadership roles, I realized that leadership, it's not a position. It's in the person. There's skills that we develop in ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we just bring that leadership aspect of ourselves to the table.
You say that it doesn't matter where you come from. What matters is what you do with the resources you have available and where you're going. We all have the potential to lead. So for someone who's listening, that this is a new concept and an inspiring one, what would be some things that you would want to share with her?
I think believe in yourself. Nobody is born a leader. You know, when we look at the most successful and high-profile leaders, they've worked on those skills. Mm. You know, they've built that company, they've developed those positions. So we really are capable, and there's a lot of research now. Bill George in particular has done a lot of research to show that leadership is something that we develop. Mm. You know, leaders are made. So I, you know, like I said, I mentioned the blind people that I work with, and I've seen young blind people who, you know, there's a young woman in particular who comes to mind, totally oppressed, totally isolated for many years, saw the opportunities, embraced those opportunities, really worked on herself and developed her skills and actually looked at what leadership was. And, you know, she's really powered ahead. And I think that that is a capability any of us can develop. Mm.
Yeah, and I think that that is such an inspiring message, because so many women, I've heard them, and it's really unfortunate when you hear, oh, well, I'm not a leader, or I'm not in a leadership role within their workplace. However, they have the opportunity and the ability to influence, to empower, to inspire their fellow colleagues, and no matter what, whether you're talking in corporate or whether you're even doing life, you know.
It's so true. The reason I wrote a leadership book was because when I was studying leadership, and I did an MBA a few years ago, you know, most of the leaders that were profiled in the text that I read were incredibly successful, high profile CEOs of huge corporations or entrepreneurs, you know, with billions of dollars. And it didn't really relate to a mom of six in Brisbane, you know, developing her leadership skills. And then when they break down what makes a leader, you know, I thought, well, I know people like that. I know people all over the place that are actually, they have those core capabilities and they're using it and they're influencing people and they're doing good. And we don't need to be this hugely successful, high-profile person to be a fantastic leader.
And I will get you to share, what were some of the core, those capabilities? Are you able to share those for people who think, oh, I wonder
What I've actually done is I've pulled them right back to six, and I've actually developed a leadership model that I'm working on for those six things. And like if you look at authentic leadership and your true north, and the research that was done actually proved, and they profiled, I think, 125 very successful leaders. You know, their followers and team had bought into their purpose and vision, and, you know, they'd built trust and loyalty and were very successful. And they found that when they studied all these leaders, they couldn't profile a successful leadership profile because it doesn't exist.
Yes.
Some were men, some were women, some were old, some were young, some were introverted, some were extroverted. You know, what it actually comes down to is that being authentic, they present themselves. So there's not that work person and that home person.
Yes.
They are that person.
We were talking about authenticity, particularly as women. So often we feel that, oh, okay, now, or we think, now that I'm in a leadership role, I need to put on this whole leadership cape and show up like this and be like that. And what we were saying is that a lot of women who do, unfortunately, do that can end up burning themselves out because they're not stepping in and allowing themselves to show up as authentic and allowing their natural strengths and those characteristics to shine through and inspire and empower their team.
Oh, absolutely. And putting on that cape or that mask, and that's hard work. That's going to wear you out, you know, carrying this extra persona. And we've got those strengths. We've got those gifts. You know, we share who we are. So I think being authentic is very, very important. People need to know who they're dealing with consistently. Strategy is vitally important. You've got to know not only where you want to go. So we need that vision, we need that purpose, but we also really need to know exactly how we're going to get there. A strategy is very important. That influence, you know, if I think it's John Maxwell who says, you know, if you don't have influence, you're not leading because you have no followers, you're just going for a walk. You've got to get people to buy into you and you've got to have that influence. Purpose goes without saying. I don't think there's much point to anything without a purpose. Emotional intelligence is very important. You've got to have that self-awareness. You've got to really know yourself. Self-leadership. You know, I think that leadership does actually begin with the self. So everything you ask of others, are you following that yourself? And of course, there's resilience. You need to be really resilient. I think resilience, particularly for women, is very, very important.
How many times have we aimed for a goal? We put our heart and soul into it. We worked so diligently, and unfortunately, we were not able to achieve it. Or maybe we're putting our goalposts so high, there's no way anyone can achieve it. But so often as women, we get that self-criticism, don't we? Oh, I didn't make it. I'm failing. Oh, people are going to think worse of me. And I love that you said that resilience. Bounce back. I mean, really, when we think of inventors, how many times, hundreds and hundreds, and in fact, some of thousands, they just kept at it, didn't they?
They just kept going. I think it was, there's a whole sequence of quotes and things. Michael Jordan failed to get into the high school basketball team and
Yes, my
16
goodness.
times. And if you've got your purpose and you've got your vision lined up and you've got a strategy, it's easier to be resilient because you can actually see that it's part of the journey. No journey is all smooth sailing. So if you've got that strategy, you can see the whole road and you think, well, that's been a bit of a stumble. Get back up and keep going.
As you're sharing that, and I what we'll do is we'll create an infographic, because I love all of those six things that you shared. We'll create an infographic and we'll pop it up on the show notes so that people can download that. They can put it as an image on their desktops or just print it out, and then they can certainly refer back to that. As leaders, often, and this can be for men and women, but I think women are particularly good at doing this. We think that we need to know it all, and therefore that is an incredible pressure that we put on ourselves. And I know some of the other guests have shared, and I'd love to hear your words, that we don't need to know it all or have all of the answers. In fact, if you can empower and inspire your team to share their brilliance and their strengths to support and collaborate to the team, I think that that really just shows the strong characteristics and confidence, self-confidence, as you as a leader, that you don't mind saying to your team, "Well, I'm not sure. Let's do some brainstorming. What's the best way? What ideas have you got?" Yes?
Oh, absolutely. And that comes down to that self-awareness, knowing your strengths and focusing on them rather than, weaknesses. Oh, I need to be better at that. And also, too, authentically, trying to fudge that or you're great at something you're not. People aren't silly. They can usually see through it at some point. Whereas if you say, look, I really don't know, but I can find out,
Yes.
or I can get somebody who's fabulous at that to work with me. And it gives other people an opportunity to shine too. You can't be great at everything.
Now, one of the topics that has come up time and time again, probably because I bring it up, because this really annoys me, and I'm happy for you to jump in and share too. Yesterday, I read a graphic that said, "Keep emotions out of it. It's just business." But you know what? Men and women, we have emotions. Now, I'm not talking about being over emotional, but I think in dealing with people and dealing with your team, recognizing that they have emotions too, to create an environment in which they feel safe and able to step forward. But when we are respectful, we've got that compassion. Again, that falls under the element, the point five of emotional intelligence. We just cannot completely wipe out and disregard people's emotions, particularly your team. Yes? What do you think?
Absolutely. The thing is, if it's purely business and you keep all the emotions out, then you're not going to get the whole person engaged. And we say it's business to business, but it always comes down to person, we're people, and people have real lives and they have different things go on in their lives. And actually acknowledging that if somebody's having a particularly bad day or a hard time or they feel emotional about something, actually showing a bit of empathy and talking it through does a whole lot for building the relationship with them, building the trust and the loyalty. And yeah, I don't think it's going to work in today's world to cut out the emotion. I mean, we're emotional beings, aren't we?
Yeah, and I think as women, there are certain things, and again, I am generalizing, and but when I say that, I don't mean to discredit men, of course, but we do bring to the table, that nurturing, that ability to be empathetic to people, to have that compassion. And I think when we harness that, when we take the best of that and are able to empower and inspire our team, that then encourages them to be the same and likewise and to collaborate. And I think when you have that real push, 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 and ignore and conquer and all that kind of stuff, it really can wear us out, can't it? And even your team, because if you're not showing up as the best person because you're trying to put, as you said, put a mask on, that is draining, and it's certainly going to inhibit your ability to be the best leader that you can.
So true, absolutely. And also too, I think, really understanding that life happens. people are real. You know, they come to work, they give their best, and if other things are going on and they're comfortable enough to say to you, look, I'm really having a bad week, or, you know, there's been something going on with that, it opens up the communication to a greater depth.
If we have a look at someone's behaviour, even if it's quite direct and comes across as unfeeling and uncaring, if we boil it right down and take it right back, that person has behaved in that way or taken that action driven by some form of emotion, whatever it is, with anger, annoyance, sadness, you know. So no matter whether you're a man or a woman, the action and behaviour that you are now exhibiting is the symptom or is the cause of an emotion. So that whole thing that women are emotional, men are too. They just exhibit it in a different way. So women embrace that, but bring the best of you. And if that, you know, to show compassion and empathy to your team, because they certainly, and I've heard time and time again, Alison, and you may have found this too from your team, that when you create an environment like that, they will go to the ends to deliver, to support, to put their hands up. And so that's really encouraging.
Oh, it's so true. They really do buy into the vision of what you're doing because they feel as though they're a part of it.
One of the things that you've said earlier was about, you know, leaders are not born, but, you know, there's different skills and strengths that can be developed, can be learned and trained. Also, what's important that you say is the continual learning. So when we do achieve to a certain leadership role, and remember we said you're a leader no matter where you are at, talk a little bit more about that continual learning and why that is so important for us.
Well, I think continuous improvement is vital. Leadership is a dynamic process. Times are changing, things are changing. I think to actually steer others, you've got to be improving yourself all of the time. Mm. And it can be a formal structured course. It can be, you know, self-development, professional development, learning about social media. But I think always adding to your skills. I'm a perpetual student. I've been a student forever. Still
me
studying
too.
At the moment.
Me too. I love it.
And yes, me too. Me too. And what I do, I learn, I understand it, and then I share it with my team, mm-hmm. and then I usually delegate it, particularly if it's business focused, so that if they have issues with anything, I can relate to where they're coming from with it.
Yes.
It's a bit difficult when you've got no clue what somebody's talking about and they're really having a hard time. So it gives you a lot more insight as a leader when you've actually done a bit of the hard yards yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way to build the skills of your team because, you know, we have a very strong ethos of continual improvement for everybody in the organization. We really embrace the whole learning new skills. And we've had people that we've hired as a junior receptionist out of school, and they've ended up being a real key player in the team. Mm-hmm. And we've now got to a point that they're very comfortable coming and saying, you know, I'd really like to learn this. And so we'll juggle things around a little bit so that person can learn those new skills, because it's another thing that increases their engagement if they feel that they're growing as well.
And I think in this day and age, with the marketplaces changing, technology is constantly changing, if we're not keeping our fingers on the pulse and learning and developing, a lot of the skills and strengths that we have could almost become stagnant, and we certainly don't want that. And let's set an example that we want to have our team also embrace. Something else that you say, Alison, I'd love to just touch on this too. It's the importance of having strong systems in place. I'd love for you to share what you believe have been some key systems, perhaps that you've put into place that you've seen have made such a significant impact on your team and on business results.
We're extremely well systemized. I spend time in Vietnam, so I can go to Vietnam for 3 weeks and my business will just keep ticking over mm-hmm. because it's so well systemized. One of the things that's made a huge difference, we actually have anything that is worth having a system and a procedure. So that's something we say all of the time. So once we have something that we need to do, we have a step-by-step procedure for it, and that goes into a procedural folder, both you know, online and hard copies.
Yes.
It's made a huge difference because even if somebody's away or we get a new staff member, they have a step-by-step manual of every single thing that goes on in our business.
Mm.
Anytime anything comes up from 6 months ago, it's easy to access that information. You know, so we don't lose a lot of time. Oh, you know, did I submit that invoice? Where did I actually put that? When it's systemized, it leaves you a lot of time to actually lead your business rather than, you know, the saying, work on it rather than working in it.
Yes.
Well, to not be working in it, you need it to be systemized. Mm.
And I think one of the most disempowering things to occur for a team member is not being fully aware of how to do something that they feel that they're struggling, they have to guess. And let's face it, I mean, I love the way that you've said that things get put down step by step by step. Something that you can't monitor and track, you can't improve. Your team member might think, hey, Alison, this is a better way of doing it. There's a new piece of technology. How about we implement that? That's going to save time and money. So
I've got admin staff that will say to me, look, I think this will work better. And you know, sometimes I look at it and go, that's a fabulous idea. And other times I sort of, well, this is why we want to go with it this way. And I'll sort of explain to them why we've chosen to do it this way. There have been some fabulous things that have come up because others have felt empowered to say, you know what, I think this is going to work better.
And, you know, I think you really empower people when you hand over, you delegate certain tasks and processes, because they're right there on the coalface doing that work. And so they may, through day in and day out, recognize, oh, I can do it a little bit differently. So having created an environment where they feel validated and safe, and I use that word because, look, I'm sure we can all tell horror stories where we've got leaders who you don't really want to approach unless you absolutely have to, because you're scared they're going to bite your head off.
That's exactly. Or they're going to say, who are you to come here with ideas?
Exactly. That's my role.
Who are you to change things?
Yes, absolutely. Which actually does, I feel, and I think we've mentioned this in a couple of other shows, if a leader does that, that really shows a lack of confidence. Because if you were that confident and had a level of self-esteem where you felt good in your own shoes, you would embrace people coming forward, because ultimately it's going to benefit the whole team.
That's so true. And the thing is, if you're doing that, you're not really leading, because leaders grow other leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the idea.
Yeah.
You know, you do yourself out of a job as quickly as possible for somebody else to take over, so you can be leading and expanding.
Oh, lots of golden nuggets in the show. So, Alison, you've probably got lots of different things that you could share, but what would be one last encouraging words that you would like to leave with people today?
I think the most important thing is to actually believe that you are capable of being a great leader. I think that's the most important thing, because once you actually realize, wow, I can do that, the rest of it is just learning the skills and gaining the knowledge or the strategies. But that belief that you're a leader, I think that's the most important thing.
So, Alison, thank you so much for joining us today. It has been a pleasure to spend some time with you. If people would like to reach out and get in contact with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
If they go to my website, alisonvidotto.com, and I'm on Twitter and I'm on LinkedIn, you'll always find me there too.
Terrific. And so we'll certainly put all of those details on how you can connect with Alison there as well. So now it's over to you. Alison and I want you to join the conversation. Let us know, what has been one insight? I know you've got many, but what would be the biggest insight that you have taken away from today's show? And as always, we like to get into action, implement it. What's the action step you're going to take in the next 24 hours? So to join the conversation, all you need to do is go to annemariecross.com/podcast10. Leave your comment below the show notes, and we both look forward to reading your comments. Again, that link, annemariecross.com/podcast10. Now, before we go, just an interview tip to help you ace that interview brought to you by our sponsor, acethatinterview.com.au. If you're negotiating your salary, never be the first person to state the figure, as this can put you at a disadvantage. Always let the interviewer state their number first and begin your negotiation from there. If they ask you what your expectations are, maybe you could say something like, well, you've had an opportunity to review my resume, you understand my strengths and what I can offer your company. With these things in mind, what salary range are you considering? Now remember, use words that suit your communication style. However, always be clear, be confident when you speak, especially when it comes to negotiating your salary. After all, you are worth it, aren't you? Now, if you've got an upcoming interview or you might benefit from some additional support so you can communicate with confidence and negotiate a salary that pays you what you're worth, check out acethatinterview.com.au for more information. Now that brings us to an end of another show, and I do hope that you will join me again next week. Remember, subscribe to our iTunes channel. The link is annemariecross.com/podcast iTunes. By subscribing to our channel means that you'll be the first person to learn about our new episodes and be inspired and empowered every week like you were today listening to Alison. That link again, annemariecross.com/podcast iTunes. While you're over there, if you've got a little bit of time, leave a brief comment and a rating too. That would always be awesome. See you again next week. Make it a great one. Bye, Alison.
Bye, Anne-Marie. Thank you.